All right. I think that was 0 for 3 so far with the services this weekend. That's okay. We'll wake you up. It's fine. And I'm going to do so with a real special treat. Banana cream pudding, right? Oh, wait. I'm not ready yet. Who wants it now? Oh, yeah. Ready whip, right? It's so good. I want you to imagine that you came over to my house for dinner, and I'm going to cook for you. It's not just you. That's awkward. There's other people there, whoever you want to be there. I'm leaving my wife out of this, which you'll be able to know in a second why. I cook, you know, grill you a steak, all the sides, all the things, right? It's so good. It's dessert time, right? Bring out beautiful glass, the ready whip, the pudding, right? And you're like, I think I can do some of that, right? And like, maybe you've heard the expression, the proof is in the pudding. Right. And it's actually not the expression at all. But I was reading an article, weirdly enough, yesterday, sports article, not weird, but it was. And the author was like, the proof is in the pudding. And then in parentheses, he wrote, I have no idea what that metaphor means, and I'm too lazy to look it up. So I went to the comments, because I'm like, someone's going to beat me to this, and someone did. They said, what I wanted to say is that that's actually not the quote. It's just because the quote's too long and old. And the quote is actually, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That makes more sense, right? Like, you're at my house now, right? I set this before you. It looks real good. Now we're going to find, is it good, right? And you taste a little bit of it. You're like, it smells okay. And it looks okay. It looks really good, actually. But do you add a weird ingredient to it? And I'm like, I was hoping you wouldn't notice. You see, I have this dog, Lil B, and I got a little bee's little poo on my shoe, and I accidentally got just a little bit into the pudding. Who was going to eat lunch after this, huh? I'm sorry. Not sorry at all. Not at all, right? And so you're like, what would you do? You throw this at me. If you were gracious, you would someday speak to me again, right? I let you eat that, but you barely noticed. And the whole point of it is something that Paul really gets into this whole letter of Ephesians, especially in the second chapter from last week and this week. And it's a concept that we sometimes kind of want to skim over a little bit because it's gross. It's not something we want to talk about as much. And that's the bad news, right? That every single human being, all of us without Christ, is this pudding. Every one of us has a corruption of sin. And we might try to dress it up, and I'll look, my bowl looks a little bit better than yours. Maybe someone's bowl's over here, and a bulldog got a hold of it. Use your imagination, okay? There's degrees of wickedness and corruption, but every single one without Christ is like this. And we like, this is bad news. I'm coming to church. I don't want to hear that. But you can't truly understand and grasp the good news of the gospel if you don't first understand the bad news. This is who we are. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that even though it's sometimes hard to hear for those of us trying to do it on our own, but the good news is, oh Lord Jesus, you are a free gift for all of us who will just but believe. And I thank you that many here have done that, including myself, and I pray that you would remind us here this morning again that we are your workmanship, created with purpose for your glory. Lord, may you receive the glory of this time together. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Boy, my hands get sticky when I do that, you know? So we are going to actually go back to chapter 2, verse 1. I know Christian preached this last week, but I'm the lead pastor. We got to preach this again. I'm kidding. Let's see if you're awake. I was actually here, both the 9 and the 11, so I heard it more than you. Probably everyone but Kelly, you know? So I loved it. Seriously, I say this. Hopefully he doesn't get prideful about this. I doubt it because he's Christian. But we are really blessed to have someone who's as young as he is who can handle God's word that well. Amen, right? Don't get him too crazy, all right? So I'm not re-preaching his sermon, but I knew back in the summer when I was dividing this series up that I wanted to spend 2 weeks on verses 1 to 10 of chapter 2 of Ephesians, because it's so impactful and so important. And so I'm dealing more with 6 through 10, but you can't, it's one thought. Again, like Paul keeps doing in this, in the Greek, The first seven verses are one Greek sentence. So I need to remind you what we've already seen. And if you weren't here last week, you skipped it on purpose, well, we're going to get you too, right? And we're going to see what Paul wrote. The bad news first, and boy, is it bad news. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked. Dead. Now, for Princess Bride fans, there's no such thing as mostly dead. All right, there's a few old people in here, right? Like the main character of that movie dies, they bring him, and you're like, oh, the Billy Crystal character, oh, he's not dead, he's mostly dead. That's fantasy land. Dead is dead. Christian brought up Blockbuster. Awesome illustration. I loved it, but I thought it was cute how we thought Blockbuster was the first to have the videos. Come on. He's so young. Who remembers the little corner store? But you could go in and they had like candy that had been there for years. They had on the wall like the videos. They had the room in back that my parents never let me look at because, you know, never mind. And that Blockbuster just kind of put it to scale. But Blockbuster is dead. It was a great illustration. Dead is not mostly dead. Because some theologically want to be like, well, we reached out, but you didn't reach for anybody. You can't. You're dead. And so dead here, again, as Christian said really well last week, it's not dead physically, it's dead spiritually. Like, why? Because of our sins and trespasses in which you once walked, which is a term used, especially in their culture, for daily conduct. How you walk is how you live your life. This is who we once were. All of us, even those who are now in Christ, and if you're not, this is who you are now. Following what? The course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work, and the sons of disobedience. So, course of the world, we'll get to that. But also, as Christian said and pointed out, that's prince of the power of the air. That's Satan, the devil, and the demonic realm. Right? So he's saying that's who you once walked. That's who once controlled you, and among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we're by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. Yikes. It's a three-pronged attack that every single human being has to deal with. What do I mean by three? Well, all of them are included here. The first is our own sin. We're sons of Adam, so it's our own sinful nature. Slavery to our own passions of sin and trespass. The second is the course of the world. Which means because the world is sinful and broken because of that, all of its systems, even though some might look a little bit better than others, they're all basically running away from God. That's why our answer is never a political party or a president or a king except for King Jesus. So it even goes down scale, like culture, right? It's always like, if you have kids, I promise you have said at some point to them, would you jump off a bridge if all your friends were doing it? Right? And if you have a kid like I was, yeah, I would, you know, because that's how we are. But you just remember, kids are mini adults. We do the same thing. Because culture just is like a huge current. And like a fish, it's hard to even explain how I'm wet. Because it's what we live in all the time. We don't even realize it. The culture, the world will celebrate certain things. Well, it must be okay. We do that. Because it's sinful. And then, of course, the demonic realm, they take advantage of all of it. They entice you because of your flesh. They use the world's systems to try to, again, rob God of glory and destroy you. Every human being has to deal with this, and it's serious. It ends up becoming and making every one of us, by nature, children of wrath. Wrath sounds really bad because when it's us, it is. It sounds like you threw fists, you raised your voice, you burst out in wrath. But God is pure, he's righteous, he's perfect. His wrath is actually just. It's right. And we categorize God. Like, God over here is fully loving. That's usually the New Testament, right? And over here he's wrathful and he's angry. That's usually the Old Testament. But did you know they're all, his wrath is loving. And you actually know this. Imagine if you have a daughter and she was walking by herself, home by herself at night, and three hooligans, I love using the word hooligan, jump out from an alleyway and beat her up, and she ends up in the hospital and all of her stuff taken. It takes a couple days, but the police, they find these three guys, they arrest them. They charge them. They're guilty. And now they stand before the judge, and you're in the courtroom waiting to see what will happen. And the judge looks at these three who beat up your daughter and go, I don't want to be mean. I'm sure you guys didn't mean it. I'm sure you won't do it again. Go ahead, leave. What would you do? The bailiff would have to restrain you from jumping at the judge, right? Because that's not fair, it's not just, and it's definitely not loving. The only time we want justice to not happen is when we deserve it. Wow, just, I didn't mean it, just let me go. But it's not loving, right? God is love and God is just, and so wrath comes on all sin, all trespasses. And so we have this bad news, which is like, why did I get ready for church today? This is terrible, right? Because you need to know the bad news to understand the good news. About a month ago, I had had a physical, my yearly physical, and I got a message from my doctor. And they use like portals and now and stuff like that, right? And I got the message and I looked and just like, all right, hey, the labs came back. Everything looks good. Right? See you next year. I was excited about that, right? I mean, I've been eating a little bit too much cheese lately. I was a little worried about the cholesterol, and Heather won't buy cheese, and we'll have to deal with that. I got another year with cheese, and that's good. That's good. So, but I spent about a couple minutes going, well, that's really good. Who wants a bad report, right? But now imagine, so let's say, and thankfully this didn't happen, a year ago, I was given 9 months to a year to live. I have some kind of illness, whatever it is. And I have to receive treatments. I got to do the whole thing for the last year. And now I get the exact same message from my doctor. You're good. You're fine. You're healthy. I don't need to see you for another 6 months or a year. Do you think I'm going to think about that for 2 minutes and go, well, at least I can eat some cheese? I am going to fall to my knees in thanksgiving. I am going to clutch my family, my friends. My life's going to seem so much different, right? Why? Because I once was pronounced dead, but now I'm alive. I guess I'm just worried that believers, we think of the gospel for a couple of minutes, and then we think about something else that seems more important, and we never should. We should never tire of this good news, and the way to do that is to remember the bad news. I was dead, and now I'm alive. He continues the sentence. He says, the good news is, but God, being rich in mercy. Now, you're going to see in this starting of verse 4 through verse 10, all of these like grand statements about God. He's rich in mercy. If you're rich, that means you have a ton, right? Rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us. God's not just going, I guess you're kind of a screw up. I think I'll help you out. Now, it's great love that's towards us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. So we saw the rich mercy, which is what? God withholds what we deserve, the wrath. We see the grace is God gives us something that we don't deserve, his love and all the amazing blessings of God. And the whole reason is not because he's the unjust judge who says, go ahead. It's because the cross is where God's love and God's justice all met and all of his wrath fell on his own son. He took your place and he said, it is finished. It is paid in full. And this is called a great love. And so through that, we go from death to life. And he continues, and he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. A lot of times we use this verse. People use this verse for baptisms. Like, it is just such a beautiful thing of you were once dead under the water. You're made alive in Christ because he rose, so will you, out of the water. We're having a baptism in November. Man, if you've never pictured that, your faith in Christ and want to do that, we got plenty of room in that tank for you. We're not all going to get in together. Don't worry about it. But I'd love to dunk you. Not because I want to dunk you, but because I'd love to see that, right? So see me. We'd love to do that. But he's saying that, but he's also saying kind of something crazy here, that we're seated us with him in the heavenly places. Like, what? I don't feel that way right now, do you? This is kind of that already not yet, but it's very important because you just gave us the bad news. You were once following the demonic realm in the world, and now what? You're seated with Christ. Like, you get to share in his glory, it's his glory, in his authority, it's his, in his power, it's his, but you get to share in it when you're in Christ. And so he raises up, so that's the already not yet, is we will someday be sharing in that, but that doesn't mean it's not a present reality. So that demonic realm that's trying to tell you you're still that loser, that's still that sinner, still that disgusting whatever, and you're like, no, I'm in Christ. That's not who I am anymore. That's why we pray in his name. His name, when you say his name, the power, the name of Jesus, demons flee. Not because of you, but because of him. And so he continues, verse 7, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So much there. Remember the riches of his mercy. Now we got what? The immeasurable riches of his grace. Like, what is that? Imagine you win the lottery. Shouldn't be playing the lottery, all right? I just want you to. And if you win anything gambling, you got to tithe 50% on that, all right? Just don't check it. Don't check that, all right? Let's say someone played the lottery for you. And you win, right? But it's one of those where you didn't win very much. You won like 100,000, which sounds like a lot until the government takes 90% of it. And you're like, oh, okay. Right? And that's still nice, but it's not really life-changing. But now imagine you win like 5 to 10 million, something like that. That's pretty life-changing, right? That's pretty amazing. But now imagine that you win and you go to the lottery officials and you're like, I won. And they're like, you did. How much? I don't know. What do you mean you don't know? We can't count it. You not know how to do math? You own a calculator? What do you mean? We can't count as high as you won. You'd be breathless. Like, what are you talking about? You can count. No. And that's what he's saying, is the grace that's found in Christ is uncountable. It's immeasurable, right? Is grace that's in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. It's amazing. And then, of course, a lot of you have this verse memorized. If not, it's a great one, or to write it down somewhere, because it so embodies that gospel. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God. You were dead. You were corrupted. You weren't mostly dead. You weren't like just a sort of a good, pudding bowl. No. And you couldn't do anything. But what happened? A gift. I use this a lot. I think we need to rewrap this Christmas maybe. You guys are good at rapping, see me, because I'm not. But I want you to imagine you give me this gift. You have this gift, you give it to me. Thank you, by the way. I'll tell you now what I told my kids when they were in kindergarten. Store-bought and gift cards only, please, children, all right? Save your arts and crafts for mommy. She loves those. No, I'm kidding. I'll pay for their therapy. Don't worry. It'll be fine. So you give me this, and I'm like, sweet. Now, you're not giving this to me because you think I'm a good pastor. In fact, you're like, you're kind of a moron, but I love you anyway, and I'm going to give this to you. It's a free gift. And you're not looking for anything else in return for me. That would not be a gift. A gift is just, it's yours, and you give it to me, right? And now I'm like, oh, wow, how heavy is it? Is it rattle? Is it meowing? Because I'm giving it right back to you. I got enough of that, right? And then I put it down, so it's a free gift. That's God's grace. But what do I need to do? Got to open it. I got to take it. I got to receive it. And that's the one of the two things that we do. The first is we have faith. We're saved by his gift, his grace, through faith. So you can't just go over here and say, I don't care about religion. I don't care about God and receive this gift. You have to open it. You have to repent and believe. But the good news is it's for anyone who would understand that they are dead. And they need to be made alive. They need his grace. And it's very simple. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who believe, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But then he says this, because Paul just can't help himself. It's not a result of works. You didn't do it. Once you get the gift of faith, man, it doesn't take long for us to kind of think, I'm shined up a little bit. Like, I think I did this. Or at least I helped God do it. And he's like, no. This is why we only boast in who? In him. No one may boast in us. We cling only to the cross. We revel in the empty tomb. There's a couple sides to this coin of this understanding, wherever you might be. And And there's some, you got your pudding bowl, right? And you're like, if I just know enough about God, if I just study him, if I just understand theology and learn, right? There are some people, and this is just like drives me sometimes, that taught Sunday school for 60 years and they will hear, I never knew you. Understanding theology and God's word is awesome. If you do not believe in the Savior, it does you no good. And the other side of the coin is, I'm going to do, like the hamster wheel. Have you ever seen one of those poor things? Like, trying to get somewhere now. If I do charity, if I do. It's sure, your bowl looks a lot better than mine, but you still got sin in it. You can never work that off. And so Paul's like, don't boast. Boast only in him. But once you know him, what? This is the second thing we do. We are his workmanship. Isn't that cool? You ever feel that way, or you feel like you're kind of on the sidelines? You're his workmanship. He's molding you. He's pruning you. Ow! Oh, yeah, it's better, actually. He's giving. He's got something for you. Created in Christ, Jesus, for what? Good works. So you don't boast in your works, but you still have them. Which God, this is just, don't even try to think about this one because it's too crazy. God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's that word walk again, daily conduct. That God, for those of you who are in Christ, long before you were even a glint in your parents' eyes, God had good works that bring him glory already set up in your life. Right? Like the stuff, like the fact that your neighbor, you know, the guy who mows his lawn and will never put a shirt on, that guy, that he's already got you there to share Christ with. He's got your kids that you're supposed to pour Jesus into. He's got your workplace. He's got your opportunities. He's already prepared them. It's because sometimes we think, well, we're really not, if I'm dead, I just sit around and let God do everything. No. He has works for you to do, not to earn salvation, that's a gift, but because of salvation. You are now someone new. Your walk is new. And so there's still a struggle. It's still work in progress, workmanship. But there's that time, we don't look at women like that anymore. He's working. We don't talk like that anymore. Yeah, that behavior, man, that's not glorifying to me. Right? Like that starts to happen. More and more and more. And I say this all the time. How many of you, if you've been at this Christian life for a while, wish you were further along? Oh, just me? Okay, yeah, okay. You guys should preach next week. How about that? No. Right? Of course, we all feel that way. But if you look back, you're like, man, he's done a work though. So you don't give up. So there's a few statements that before we go. They're not necessarily big points. They're just statements. They're, we were, but now we are. That I want you to leave here with. First is we were dead. We were dead. Paul made it very clear. But now we're alive. So, my favorite gravestone. I was telling Brian Hava between services, I think this is going to be my gravestone someday. Just write my name. Jamie, dead. That's good. You don't need anything more. Right? That's who we were. Maybe I'll have that instead. Everyone really confused people. Is he alive? What's going on? He is. Because of Jesus. You were dead, but now you are alive. Remember, spiritually, because by his mercy and his grace and his love and his kindness. So if you don't know, like, again, maybe you've been on the hamster wheel. And this is a hard thing. This was a very hard thing for me before I came to Christ. I believed in God, I believed in church, I believed that I was good enough. I was not. I mean, I didn't even look like this, but I thought I did. And you're trying so hard. I'm going to go to church, I'm going to be good, I'm going to give to charity. And I'm not saying God won't use those things. He will, but they can't save you. You're still dead. Or maybe you're the other person. You're the bulldog bowl, right? You're the person who's going to go home and say to somebody, I went to church, and they're like, you? I hope the beams were strong enough to hold the ceiling up when you walked in. Ha, 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 ha. Right? I hope that baptismal water is extra clean when you get into it. Because you know, Jamie, man, if you knew what I did, if you know what God knows, you can't out-sin that cross. And so whether you've been on the hamster wheel or you've given up, all have the immeasurable grace if you would just open that gift and believe. Now, lots of us have. Lots of us have. You know why this is important to remember the bad news and the good news? It's so important because I do not want you to hear the gospel and think about it 2 minutes like, oh, I'm glad I can still eat cheese. I don't want it to become commonplace. I don't want you to ever, maybe not in your like active thinking, but your subliminal behavior that, man, I kind of did this. I mean, God did it, but look at me. I'm not as bad off as that person. Man, there's something that drives me crazy is religious elitism to think that we have somehow done something when God did it all. Because we get then grounded in humility and we can look at others and say, okay, they're a mess, but so was I. Their mess looks different than mine. That's okay. They have a mess, and just like me, they need the Savior. And then when we sing the gospel, when we think of the gospel, you remember who you were, but now who you are. We were dead, now we're alive. Like sometimes you're like, people are like, well, are you some kind of hypocrite? Yeah. Why are you get to be saved? I don't know. It's like the guy in the Gospels when Jesus healed, he was blind, remember? And Jesus heals him, and they're like, well, who do you think you are? And where's your parents? And da-da-da-da-da. And all he said was like, hey, look, all I know is I was blind, and now I can see. Go see him. I was once dead, now I'm alive. I was once lost, and now I'm found. That's your story. You share Christ way more if you realize that's all you share. Yeah, more comes. But you don't need to be a Bible expert. You should be able to say, I was dead. Now I'm alive. You still mess up. I know. By his grace. Right? We were powerless. I really, for some of you, are still trapped in temptation and sin. Hear this. We were powerless slaves. But now we have power with Christ. Remember that verse. You were raised to that power. I don't know you don't feel that way because it's not your power. It's his. But the reason I want you to hear this is you are no longer a slave. You aren't. In Christ, you're not a slave to the bottle, to the drug, to the pornography, to the unforgiveness, to the bitterness, to the affair, to the whatever it is. You aren't. Don't believe the lie. This is just who you are. You're an angry person. No, you're in Christ. You're not angry anymore. You're a gossip. No, you're not. You're in Christ. You're not a gossip anymore. You'll still have the struggles. You're a work in progress. But please understand that you are alive and you now have that power. So I don't know, what do you need today? Maybe that thing that you've picked up again, that guilt, that shame that has been dealt with once and for all on a hill called Calvary. You need to leave it here again today. Don't walk out with it. Don't. Jesus paid it for it. He's a just God. He's not going to make you pay for a second a time. Jesus already paid for it. It's called grace. Maybe the demonic realm is shouting at you. Maybe people are accusing you. And all you need to say is, look, I am covered by the blood and I have the blood. Like, the blood of Christ has freed me. Don't forget that. That's the gift, the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness. Third and last statement, we were children of wrath, but now we're God's children. Right? Not everybody's God's children. Everybody is under the authority of God, but God's children are those who have come to Christ. And now if you have a kid, and I know sometimes can be hard, if you didn't have a real great dad or any dad at all in your life, it's sometimes hard to think of it like this. But I want you to set that aside and realize he is a perfect father. And he is a loving father. If you did have a great dad, he makes your awesome dad look evil, which is a shock for me. I have a great dad, but compared to God, he's a complete failure. For me and my kids, I'm a complete failure. You have to understand, what does a loving father do? He cares for his children. He's there. Man, he wants to spoil his kids, but he knows, I can't. But I want to give you whatever I can, but there are some things. No, Jamie, no, no, no. I know you don't. You think you need that. You don't need that. Right? And because he's your father. And what he is doing is he is doing that work. And he's got those things that he has prepared long ago for you to do. You don't just sit on the sidelines. You can't work to earn your salvation, but in Christ, he works through you and in your life. It's amazing. Like, here's how I think about it. When I had kids, my kids were really small, and I heard a pastor say that only the Holy Spirit can light the fire of salvation in my kids. But that doesn't mean I can't put a lot of kindling around them. I can have God's word in their life. I can't save them, but I'm not going to be water. I'm going to be kindling. And the same, God will do the work, but you and I, our job is to be put kindling around your life. That's why you read his word. That's why you're here right now. That's why you go to that group or that class. That's why you surround yourself with godly people, kindling. That's why you share Christ with the guy who should put a shirt on. Kindling. You step into that ministry and you serve in our children's ministry, or you go to Worcester Outreach, or you, whatever. Kindling, kindling, kindling. The more you avail yourself, the more God is doing these works in you and through you. You are created with a purpose in Christ. It isn't to sit around going, well, when's heaven? It is to be in the game. This isn't a spectator sport. Watching the pastor or a few other people do it. No, no, no. You are gifted in ways, so many ways that I could never do. God has gifted you that way. He's prepared those works for you. Put kindling around your life, and as scary as it is, step into it and do what he's called you to do. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you're the King of Kings and you're the Lord of Lords. And I'm so grateful, truly grateful, Lord, that I get a front row seat of so many of those good works in your people here. So many things that they have done, are doing, and I can't wait to see what you will do in the lives of your people, Lord. I pray you would continue to give us the courage and the hope to remind us who we really are in Christ, not who the enemy tries to say we are. Continue to open our eyes to the works that you have prepared for us, created us for, Lord. And then when we do mess up, we will be reminded of your grace, that it is immeasurable, that you are our Father. You got us. You love us. Lord, for anyone who came in here and didn't realize they were either on the hamster wheel trying to earn their salvation, or maybe they just thought they were too far off, would you open their minds and hearts to just open the gift by faith that Jesus, you are their Savior, and that this, maybe for the first time, would be to just let go and say, Jesus, save me. Oh, Lord, we want to see more and more know you. It's really all we care about. That we want to be your hands and feet so others will know who you are. Thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your kindness. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.